Good morning. Thank you. Welcome to First Baptist Church on this second Sunday of Advent. It's so good to be together, and we especially welcome those of you who may be visiting with us. We hope you find yourself at home here. And we invite all of you to take a moment this morning to fill out the connection card. It's got a front and a back, and you can drop that in the offering plate when it comes by later during the service. I hope that on your way in, you picked up or were handed one of these prints. If you did not get one, there's one for everyone for the worship service. If you did not get one, you can either get up and get one now, or you could raise your hand, and there's an usher back there who's got a whole stack of them. One right up here, Mary. Yeah, raise hands. That's great. Just call out, do whatever you want to do to make sure you get one of these. And then on your way out, there will be a devotional booklet for this week that is available at both doors. Also at the information counter, if you were not here last Sunday and did not see this past week's devotions online, or just would like to grab a hard copy of last week's devotions, those are available, a few of them, at the information counter. Announcements related to congregational life are in your bulletin insert, and there's a lot going on. I would like to highlight just a few of those things. One is that I hope you will consider joining us during second hour this morning after fellowship time at 11:30 in the Memorial Lounge for another session of our series on being Baptist, the freedom, passion, and feistiness of the Baptist tradition. Today we are going to have a panel. It's being called a panel of feisty Baptists. And that panel is Dick Bowser and Heather Enterkin and me. No one has ever called me feisty before. That's the only lie I'm going to tell today. I hope that you will consider coming to that. It's going to be fun. Also, this afternoon, the Ann Arbor Youth Chorale is performing in their winter concert at 4 o'clock at Bethlehem United Church of Christ. The Youth Chorale is directed by our own Bonnie Kidd, and this afternoon we have three of our youth singing in it, Emmanuel Morgan and Katarina and Alexandra Da Silva. It'll be a great opportunity to enjoy some beautiful music and see some of our church youth shine. On Thursday, we have another chance to hear some great music, our Coffee Break Concert Series at 12:15, featuring piano music by WC. And this is a chance during a busy season to step back, take a breath, relax, be renewed, and enjoy. And it's also a great thing to invite your friends and neighbors and coworkers to. And then next Sunday, following worship, our ABWM women will be hosting their annual Christmas celebration with baked goods and Christmas items for sale. You can read the details of that, but you'll want to bring your checkbook and or cash to enjoy the goodies that are there. Now I invite you to join me in our responsive call to worship. In these darkening days, we lift up our longing for peace. Christ, the bringer of peace, has come to the world and will come once more to bring us peace. Come, Lord Jesus.
Please stand if you are able for the invocation. Holy and loving God, you have created the second Sunday of Advent. On this day, fill us with knowledge and worship you more fully today and always. We ask this in the precious name of Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Searched me and known me.
You know my resting and my rising.
You know
my thoughts from afar.
Before a word is on my tongue, you know it completely.
Such knowledge is too wonderful for me, too high beyond my reach.
How wonderful are your works. I know this right well.
How big is it to me are your thoughts.
Thank you. A shout shall come out from the stump of Jesse, and branch shall grow out of his roots. The Spirit of the Lord shall rest on him, the Spirit of wisdom and understanding, the Spirit of counsel and might, the Spirit of knowledge and the fear of the Lord. His delight shall be in the fear of the Lord. Did I read the wrong? No. He shall not judge by what his eyes see or decide by what his ears hear. But with righteousness he shall judge the poor and decide with equity for the meek of the earth. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Will you pray with me? God of peace and promise, we have come here weary and looking for rest. We have come here burdened and looking for peace. We have come here disheartened and looking for hope. In the music of the morning, we hear the reminder of your faithfulness. In the light of the Advent wreath, we see the flicker of your promise. What we are looking for will be found. Hope, rest, peace, you. Remembering your past faithfulness and trusting your unending goodness, we bring you our pain and our prayers. We pray for a world that seems increasingly dark, and for all those who have given up hope for more light. We pray for those who live in grief or sadness, for those who live with anxiety or fear, for those who live in violence or poverty, for those who live with depression or addiction, and for all who try to bear your light in the darkness. We pray too for people in our church and in our lives who need your most tender care. For Joe Mortensen, Phil White, Joan and Lynn Blunt, Pat Hubel, Bruce and Vicki Williams, Marilyn Marsh, Juanita Dieterle, Iris Martin, Saw Nay Lin, Robert L., Nick Dodson, Marissa Alanese, for Carrie Cable, the Jones family, Jamie Ticknor, for Isidore, Bonnie, Mauricia, Essie, Arthur, Louise, James, Tori Totman, Daniel Totman, Jean Chinoweth, for Bob and Joyce Moore, for Catherine, Mike, Jenny, Bonnie, Beth St. John, for the friends and family of Mike Scott, for David, for the people of Hong Kong, for the teachers and students of the Detroit Public Community Schools. We too need your care. We lift our own prayers to you now in silence. Loving God, you invite us to give you our burdens, to let go our worry and our fear, and to have gentle hearts. This is not in our power, but it is in yours. So give us your grace. Make us ready to receive joy when it comes, and to have peace when it doesn't, and to live by the freeing power of your love every day. We pray all these things in hope, in the name of Jesus, who taught us how to pray, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen.
Each Sunday of this Advent, we are hearing and seeking to understand a story called the Annunciation, a story of an angel who stands before a girl and declares that she is to bear the Son of the Most High into the world. Every time we hear it, it's new. Would you stand, please, to listen to the gospel? In the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent by God to a town in Galilee called Nazareth, to a virgin engaged to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David. The virgin's name was Mary. And the angel came to her and said, "Greetings, favored one, the Lord is with you." Then she was much perplexed by those words and pondered what sort of greeting this might be. The angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God, and now you will conceive in your womb and bear a son, and you will name him Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High, and the Lord God will give to him the throne of his ancestor David. He will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there will be no end." Mary said to the angel, "How can this be? I have not been with a man." The angel said to her, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you. The power of the Most High will overshadow you. You, therefore, the child to be born will be holy. He will be called Son of God, and now your relative Elizabeth, in her old age, has also conceived a son, and this is the sixth month for her who was said to be barren. For nothing is impossible with God." Then Mary said, "Here I am, the servant of the Lord. Let it be with me according to your word." Then the angel departed from her. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Thanks be to God. Be seated, please. And the children are now invited forward.
Question for you. Can you guess how many thoughts God has? Who can guess this? How many thoughts? Anna, what do you think?
A thousand.
That's a lot. Asher, what do you think? A trillion. That's a lot, too. Teresa? A billion. What do you think? A gazillion. You know what? In the psalm we hear today, it says that God has so many thoughts. And if we tried to count them, we would have to count even more than the grains of sand. So, how about I put a little bit? Can you start counting? Yeah. See how many you think. Good. Can you start counting? Here, count a little bit. See what you think. You think we can do this, you guys? Okay. Oh, I love it. Ingrid, she's always up for a challenge. Come close, Ingrid. Come on. Yep. Oh, yeah. Okay, you start counting those. You let us know how many you get. It says God's thoughts are as many as the grains of sand, more than the grains of sand. It's a lot of thought. I was talking about being heavy. It's heavy. You know, as we are followers of Jesus, we have an important job to do. And that is to try to know how God thinks. It's hard to count all the thoughts God has. It's also hard to try to understand what God is like. But we come here together to do that. We listen to the stories about God coming as a baby, as baby Jesus. Okay, you can stop that. And Mary hearing the angel. All those stories of God and God's people help us know what God is like, how God thinks. And there are so many. So this is an important part to remember. Are you going to be able to understand all the ways God thinks, all of God's thoughts? No, we're not. We can keep trying to learn what God is like and how God sees the world and how God sees us. It's always also good to remember that God has many more thoughts than we will ever know. And that's exciting. That's good. I love that about God. So many thoughts. God loves you, we hear too. And then God brings Jesus into the world as a baby. That tells us a lot about what God is like. Let's pray together. Can you pretend you have a handful of sand? And some of you do have a handful of sand. Yeah. Let's pray. God, we thank you for being full of many thoughts. Good, big, loving thoughts for all people. We know we can't know them all, but we do promise to do our best to learn more about you so that we can be good followers of you. Thank you for loving us, and we thank you for baby Jesus. In your son's name we pray. Amen.
Thank you.
Let's pray together, please. Loving God, we ask today that we be surprised by how near to us your word has come, by how it is indeed for us. May it awaken us and grant us power to live in its light. Through Jesus our Lord, we pray. Amen. Is this an experience you had when you were a little kid? Early Christmas morning, you go to the room where the Christmas tree is and see that while you were sleeping, Santa has come and brought presents for you. In all your life, there is no moment quite like that. I know how I felt at that moment, because my father took pictures of it every year. He would position himself, aiming his camera at the door, to take a picture of my brothers and me at the very moment we got our first look. I've seen those pictures. My sleepy little kid face lit up with wonder. And that feeling for me, I've realized, was actually less about the presents and more about the fact that Santa Claus had been in there, in that space, right there. He'd been there for me, for us. It was wondrous, and you could see it in my little face. But as time went by, my brothers and I came to realize that Dad was going to be there to capture the moment. And knowing that the purpose was to show how excited we were, we figured we should show a little more of it. And you can see the difference. In the first pictures, I looked like this. In the later pictures, I look like this. Let me make this clear. I was a believer, but my sense of wonder was slipping away, because my focus now had shifted from the wondrous to the camera and to my performance. It's also true that now I did care more about the presents. So wonder was slipping away. And what a loss it is to give up your sense of wonder. It's an issue that spans a whole life. Einstein said, "The person to whom the emotion of wonder is a stranger, who can no longer stand wrapped with awe, is as good as dead." Maybe it's worth asking ourselves how dead we really might be with reference to the experience of wonder and a capacity to live from that sense. The season of Advent is a very good time to ask that question, because the whole story begins with the fact of wonder. There is Mary, who, remember, in her world was pretty much nobody, female, poor, young, middle school age, living in a podunk town in an occupied country. Lucky for her, a marriage had been arranged, since only a husband could give her a future. But one day, out of nowhere, an encounter suddenly happens and changes her life. She receives, of all things, a personal visit from an angel. And I'd like to show you how one artist imagined that moment. I think you have it close by. Will you consider it with me? First, a word about the artist. Henry Ossawa Tanner was an African-American man in the late 1800s, and this painting made him the very first African-American painter to receive international acclaim. His background is fascinating. His father was a bishop in the African Methodist Episcopal Church in Pittsburgh and wanted Henry to become a minister. Tanner's mother had been born a slave and had escaped slavery through the Underground Railroad. As a young man, Tanner decided to leave this country. What chance would a black artist have in the 19th century of this racist country? He moved to Paris, where many artists were, and being black was just fine. His art was called realism, though his paintings almost always are filled with transcendence. As in this painting, where the angel Gabriel is not represented with a body and a face, but surprisingly as a column of blinding light. There's nothing like that in the biblical story, where it would seem the angel did have human features, which is how everybody pictures an angel. Not Tanner, who wants us to see the absolute otherness of the realm from which this encounter comes to a very ordinary human being in her ordinary surroundings. And see how ordinary she is and how plain is the world around her. She's not surrounded by the extras that Annunciation art almost always has. This girl's got no halo. There's no white lilies there to symbolize how pure she is. There's no doves flying around the room. No prayer desk with an open book of scripture is. Almost always in these paintings, there's a book. There's no stately architecture or furnishings. The rug and the cloth that hangs beside and behind her, the clay jar on our right, standing on a shelf, these are actual objects that Tanner had just brought back from a trip to the Middle East. This stuff is real, and it's homely, as is the girl Mary, so real. She's Jewish. She's not wearing her usual blue. Mary looks fabulous in blue. This Mary is wearing just a dust-colored nightrobe with stripes. Most of all, she's in bed. Sitting on the edge of her bed with the blanket all mussed up and spilling onto the floor, from which you can tell that she has been lying there already, probably already asleep. And this entity now, this tower of brilliant light, has just shown up in her room, standing at the foot of her bed. I don't know about you, but if I woke up to that, I'd hide under the covers. Not her. She has sat up, swung around, and is looking at this light. It's not just any kind of looking. You see how her head is tilting to her side? Like she's intensely curious, studying it. Like she might be listening to it. And because she's facing it like that, the light is shining on her face. She may be really, really uneasy about this thing, but she's facing it and it makes her shine. Just as all the other ordinary stuff in her room is now made luminous by the one source of light in that room. Who knew that all this could shine like that? The stuff of our ordinary lives shot through with glory. Now, she's going to say to that angel, and maybe she already has, how can this be? In the biblical story, it's a question that relates to biology. The angel has said to her that she will conceive and bear a child who will be called Son of the Most High, and naturally she's perplexed like about that and what that's supposed to mean. She says, I haven't been with a man that way. How can this be? Next Sunday, we're going to talk about what the angel said next and look at some art that tries to express what it means. But for today, let's stay with her question, how can this be? Because I think it's about much more than how she's supposed to be pregnant. There's a deep mystery standing near to her. She's seen how it shines on everything around her. And this mystery is calling her name. Her world thinks she is nothing. But now the mystery tells her that the favor of God is on her life and that she will bear in her own body the redemption of the world. She turns to gaze at such mystery as that and finds that though she does not understand, she doesn't comprehend it at all. But her face is shining with it. When she says, "How can this be?" she is trembling with amazement that the fathomless mystery of cosmic love is here for her, all around her, calling to her, embracing her. The poet Marie Howe has a poem in which Mary is recalling this moment and says, "I thought I'd die from being loved like that." Could it be that this is one of the reasons that Mary was the one chosen to bear in her body Jesus? Her capacity for wonder, her way of looking and listening and asking and absorbing the mystery of God and consenting to live an awestruck life. And I wonder, did the witness of her wonder in any way help to shape how her son lived and died so beautifully in the awe of God? For us to live without a sense of wonder is to live without paying attention. It's living in the illusion that the surfaces of things is what's real about them. and that we already know pretty much what there is to know, and that we're here to manage. How terribly sad to live inside such a cramped space. But the universe trembles, spilling over with the unknowable. You and I should not exist, but here we are. And the human species, that the human species can be savage, that is sadly explainable, but who can explain holiness? How do we account for pure, self-giving goodness and the astonishingly beautiful? Hold a baby in your heart. Think, if you're able, try to think how the reality we call God is beyond anything we could begin to imagine or fathom. Why do we speak of God as if we know? The source of it, of that mystery that is God, is also unthinkably calling our names. How can this be? That is the ground that an awakened life will now live upon. I think Mary of Nazareth would agree with Mary Oliver, who said, "When it's over, I want to say, all my life I was a bride married to amazement." What would you give to arrive at the end of your life and be able to say you have lived like that? I know it can be very hard. Sadness can make it so hard to feel wonder anymore. Physical and emotional suffering, the lunacy and cruelty, what happens all around us, might mean the end of wonder. But so does being indifferent. So does our self-absorption, our own betrayals, our toxic attitudes and destructive choices. These, we can lay aside and repent of and learn to let go of. That would really open new space for a life that marvels in amazement. This was Mary's awakening. It can be yours, mine. A brilliant light is standing very near to you now, shining lovely light on everything around you, and calling you to greatness, the greatness of bearing divine love, you, yes, you, bearing divine love into this world. Awaken, awaken, set your gaze on this mystery, be lost in wonder. And your face, your life will shine with it. In that light, we forsake our little living and become givers of gifts the best we can. The offering now taken is a sign of such giving. We offer this as our worship, our love, our faith, our hope.
Thank you.
holy God, in so many ways beyond our knowing, yet who has made yourself knowable enough in love to us. In reply, we offer what is ours to give, not only the ordinary that we possess, but the ordinary that we are. Shine your light upon it. Through Christ our Lord. Amen. You may be seated for now. The hymn we are about to sing is explicitly about the story of the Annunciation to Mary. I don't know of a hymn in any of our books, no carol, no Advent hymn, that seems to tell that story, so here is one printed for us. And because our newer hymns are often harder for us to absorb, I would like you to know more deeply what this hymn is trying to say as we sing it. It begins by telling the story, just the story, in a very condensed way. It fasts forward then to the night when Mary holds her newborn child in her arms, filled with wonder. The final verse is an expression of our desire to experience the wonder, the faith, and the love that she did, and like her, be bearers of Christ to the world. So that we may sing it with more personal feeling, we're going to hear it now twice. Shanae will play through it once. Then Coley Roberts will sing the first stanza, and then we will sing the stanza that she has sung and the other two as well. Listen, and then we'll stand. How full we are of the mystery that has shined upon us. Let's give loving expression to it now with each other. May the peace of Christ be with you.
Amen.